I don't know how hot it is outside, but it's always hot in here. Let's turn on the fan.
We're talking today about the escapist joys of a good summer read. And from his unair-conditioned living room in Brooklyn, this is staff writer Vincent Cunningham and his idea of escapism.
I guess it's true that summer is the site of a lot of self-imposed pressure for me. It seems like someone who writes or wants to embark on creative projects, summer always feels like, oh, I could do it in the summer. And so it's possible that this is why I find writing hard in the summer. I find thinking hard in the summer, and I find it hard to digest prose in the summer. So plays work for me in that way, mostly because the imperative of reading a play is that you're supposed to be hearing it, right? Not reading it. So it's more rhythmic. It's more about sound. Like I read it like almost like I would read poetry. One of my favorite playwrights at all is Eugene O'Neill. And the way that I've worked my way through him is to basically only read him in the summer. So now I'm reading one of O'Neill's earliest plays, Beyond the Horizon. I know nothing about it. And so now, while I'm supposed to be doing other things, I'm reading that. The hero is this character, Robert Mayo, who's sitting reading a book, and like, good luck staging or casting for this. He is a tall, slender young man of 23. There is a touch of the poet about him, expressed in his high forehead and wide, dark eyes. His features are delicate and refined, leaning to weakness in the mouth and chin. Now, like, whenever I read stuff like that, I always, like, have in mind, like, some casting director, like, looking through guys. It's like, who's got a touch of the poet about him expressed in their high forehead? Like, I mean, you can't do that. And he knows you can't do that. But this is why I feel like it's a gift to the people who read plays, not as directors or producers who just read them at home. And here's his way of sort of gifting something to them. Every O'Neill play, once you've read a couple, everyone seems basically familiar because there's always at the middle of it, and this is definitely going to be Robert Mayo, I'm totally guessing, each one of them has an O'Neill figure who's just like brilliant and anguished and sort of wants to die. And there's a way in which, you know, every O'Neill play worth anything to me is sort of aimed toward tragedy. So Robert Mayo's brother Andrew comes along the road from the right, returning from his work in the fields. He is 27 years old, an opposite type to Robert, husky, sun-bronzed, handsome in a large-featured, manly fashion, a son of the soil, intelligent in a shrewd way, but with nothing of the intellectual about him. In other words, he's not Eugene O'Neill, right? Here's what Andrew says. Hey there. Robert turns with a start. Seeing who it is, he smiles. Gosh, you do take the prize for daydreaming. And I see you've toted one of the old books along with you. Want to bust your eyesight reading in this light? Robert Mayo glances at the book in his hand with a rather shamefaced air. I wasn't reading just then, Andy. Andrew says, no, but you have been. Shucks, you never get any sense, Rob. He crosses the ditch and sits on the fence near his brother. What is it this time? Poetry, I'll bet. He reaches for the book. Let me see. Most weird, anxiety-driven things are just about starting. And then you start, you get the sound of these characters, their voices, it starts to fill in, right? The way they move their bodies, things like this, the way they walk, they would walk across the stage. It gets into your head, and then you're kind of off to the races. But it's like you're putting this like dollhouse together. It just seems like fun, and it feels like the beginning of something.
Staff writer Vincent Cunningham reading Eugene O'Neill.